Hey, heads up! This week we discuss fetishes, so this episode may be a little more NSFW than our usual episodes. Keep that in mind, and enjoy!
Free birds I'll be pen, each week they're chirping, just words they're speaking, drunk flicks concerning, and there's no questions, challenges, double errors, and hands with suggestions, storm falls with chairs. Yo, special guests, silly games, hot seat, life lessons, you're the best, thanks again, calls Tito, obsession.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Am I forever fucking immortalized falling off the damn chair?
Yes, as immortalized by the art itself. Okay, that was by Feedy and it featured Reg Day as well, and oh my god.
That was great.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh. That was great.
That would have come cool together with the picture.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I was bracing myself because I was wondering which role I was going to be assigned, and of course, falling off the chair. But aside from that, really, it's really good.
Yeah.
I did not understand what listened to it again.
They harmonize so well.
That was...
We gotta, like, use that going forward for some of our things. That's great.
We'll figure something out, yeah, for sure. Get their permission.
Hey, maybe rotate the intro or something. That'd be great.
I wouldn't be against that. Why do we have so many talented birds in the group? It's, like, of course birds would sing.
Why do they love us?
Of course birds would sing.
Why do they love us so much? We're just regular birds sitting around pretending to drink beer and talking about life. It's great.
Wow. Feedy has an amazing voice. And I mean, Rekta does too, obviously. But like, Feedy, he could nail like soft songs.
Oh, Feedy can nail me as much as he wants after that song. Same with Regday. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Guys, thank you so much. That was fantastic.
Yeah, really. You could write more songs for us and we would love it. And now we are like expecting huge things when we are going to episode 100.
I'm looking forward to being able to do this podcast live one day.
Hey, Rekki,
can be fantastic. You guys have no idea what I've just been through, except maybe Fleeks.
Yeah. I know that Teasel visited you, and I'm sorry.
Oh my!
Has he managed to get his American citizenship yet?
He's on his path. Let me tell you.
Yeah,
he's
no
doing
kidding.
Everything he can to earn it.
He's had the full experience. You are a good host, sir.
I try. I aim to please.
Yeah. You brought him to that candy factory thing.
Yeah.
he probably will end up with diabetes after his stomach will be fucked after.
Yeah, I don't think.
Oh, he's already got diabetes.
I don't think he can quite handle American culture. Like he's not into. Like he's. He's getting the full raw experience, and he's like an overexcited child just going wild with it. He doesn't know how to, like, abstain just enough that things won't kill him yet.
He doesn't know the power. He does not know the power of no.
Yeah, exactly.
I give him a week.
Everywhere we went.
I mean, we all grew up in an abstinence-only education system, so we know. That was an attempt at tying in the joke from earlier. It didn't work out.
Yeah.
See, that's how I know you're Mormon.
Yeah, yeah.
He is an adorable bird, loves to snuggle, and it was very cute watching his Britishisms come out when he was overindulging like a true American while trying to sing country music.
Yeah, how do you do with country music?
About as well as he did with the triple atomic chicken wing.
How was that?
Oh, God.
He did mention that he felt like he was dying, but it also sounded like he did it.
He did it, and it was painful, and it was I was dying. I was laughing so hard I was dying, but he did it.
He was sitting there saying that you and Drezel were like, you know, just champs at it, like it didn't even faze you.
No, I mean, a little hot, but yeah, you deal with it.
500,000 Scoville.
Yeah, but what's funny is Melons here.
Oh God!
Decided to join in on the triple atomic challenge.
Yeah, how'd you do?
Melons, with all of her military training.
Oh Jesus!
Promptly threw up the white flag, and was dying.
Throw up a white flag. I just needed, like, you know, some extra, you know, liquids.
White liquids. White liquids from cows?
Okay, that narrows it down.
It was a clearish liquid.
Okay. Clear-ish? So like clear-ish. Sprite.
It was lemonade. It did not help, though. It only made it worse.
No, that would not help. It's also acidic.
Yes, it only
do not use
worse.
Acids to solvent acids.
Yeah.
It was like trying to douse it with a flame, though. That's my logic.
Melons is adorable. We never accused Melons of being the brightest bulb in the birdhouse. I'm just being real with you.
Yeah. Hey, at least I was the one that birded up and said I'll take it first.
This is true.
Yeah. Taking one for bird kind. We appreciate it.
So the closest
backfired.
The closest thing we have to a wings challenge like that is from Buffalo Wild Wings, who apparently I just found out is not doing so well in the business industry, and Arby's ended up buying them up. That's been all over the news this past week. Have you seen that?
No, I missed that memo.
Yeah, that was actually pretty shocking to me, because like the Buffalo Wild Wings in my area, like they've been developing and going crazy. I had no idea they weren't doing too hot.
Yeah, the competition in the restaurant industry has gotten so fierce that it's pretty much become an innovate or die kind of deal.
Is this going to be like the fast food wars from the movie Demolition Man?
What is that, where we all just end up with Taco Bell?
Yes, exactly. Or Pizza Hut, if you're in a different country.
I don't know. I don't know if it'll get to that, but in my opinion, you're going to see a lot of restaurants dying, especially the old ones, because unless they have the billions in the bank to reinvent themselves regularly to keep people
like shopping. McDonald's does every 10 years.
Pretty much. McDonald's will still be there. McDonald's, the end of the world will happen and we'll be, you know, post-apocalyptic mayhem, and somehow McDonald's will still be open.
Yeah, well, McDonald's has the business strategy. They have the experience. They know that they have to change and innovate to keep up, even if it's just aesthetics. I mean, honestly, let's look at it here. Yeah. Like, their burger and their chicken nuggets have not changed since I was born.
I still know when they changed the slogan and stuff.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I'm loving it.
How did that happen? At first, it was in Germany, like good, and that's
because it went from like a phase where it was like I'm McLovin' it, and then they changed it to like just straight up I'm loving it. They got rid of the Mick because they realized it was too cheesy.
Yeah, in Germany, so it was before McDonald's dying.
Anyways, as I was trying to get to the point, So our local Buffalo Wild Wings does have a challenge like that me and a friend have been meaning to do for quite some time. We have the experience with like the really spicy. We've gone up to 800,000 Scovilles so far. But the thing is like they also pull it fresh out of the oven. So not only is it like hot spicy, but it's hot like temperature wise. And that's cool. That's the hiccup we're experiencing.
Well, what's interesting to me is I had my dragon Drizzle with me
right
at this most recent extravaganza, and when he's taking down this molten lava fiery greatness, which, by the way, these wings are so delicious. When you first bite into them, they're nice and sweet and succulent and juicy.
And then the flame thrower goes off
in your mouth, and it just doesn't stop. It's a great feeling.
Then that, you die.
That is.
And so Drizzle.
Go ahead. Sorry.
And so Drizzle, you know, you can tell when something's really spicy because he'll start hiccuping.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
But he'll claim, "Oh, this isn't spicy at all," as he's hicking up and hiccuping and hiccuping. It's like, okay, yeah, I'll take your word for it. But
yeah, if you start to hiccup, it was too much for your stomach. I sometimes have dishes. I think like, oh yeah, they're in an okay hotness, but then they somehow end up making me hicking up, and that's very unpleasant.
So that's a genetic trait. Like, not everybody who faces like super spicy will hiccup like that. Well, obviously, I mean, you guys were probably sitting around. He's probably the only one hiccuping. But
everyone hiccuped except me.
I didn't hiccup.
Yes, you did.
No, I just burst into tears.
Crying is not hiccuping, Storm.
Yeah, there's a difference.
Okay.
Oh,
okay,
we'll go with that. Why are you hiccuping from your eyes?
Eye hiccups.
I have a friend who will hiccup when he gets like two spices going on. I don't hiccup, even though I'm like suffering the same amount. I have laughed hard enough to the point of hiccuping before, which was weird and hilarious. Because then it just kind of perpetuated the laughter.
Is this the same friend you're one-upping in GIF?
Yes. And the same friend who is going to try the Carolina Reaper with me this Christmas.
That's a nice Christmas dine. Yeah.
Right? It'll warm us right up. To the listeners, sorry, Fleeks is kind of subject to the Wi-Fi signal right now. So he might break up here and there.
Yeah, he's pretty much broadcasting to us from the local dungeon, trying to get some things cleaned up down there while he starts the avian recovery art program for birds in need.
You know what? Fleeks is just metal enough, I would picture that he might actually have a dungeon in his basement.
Oh my.
Basement.
Apparently he doesn't have a basement.
Yes.
Maybe he has a secret dungeon, like a trapdoor that leads to it.
He just kind of like started digging a hole in his closet, and it's like this little like 4x4 square space like right now, but he's like trying to expand out. He just doesn't know what to do with all the dirt.
So he's just pecking away, forever remodeling.
Yes.
I'm a flat owner, but I'm I'm paying rent for a flat. So when I would dig a hole, I would end up. I mean, I live in the last floor, and there is a basement. But this basement is not for public use.
Yeah. Okay. Not accessible. Okay. Yeah. Do we want to get started?
I was hoping that was being recorded.
No, Storm. I just barely clicked.
Oh dear. That's a whole bunch of wasted time.
Goodness. Jeez, Core. Come on.
Okay. This
get
is...
your head out of the gutter.
Gutter.
Yes, the gutter.
This is episode 51. I'm Core.
I'm Fleek.
I'm Chirpalicious.
He's Storm.
Howdy, I'm Melons.
Hi, Melons. Welcome to the show.
Greetings.
I just want to know a little bit about yourself and your sona.
All right. Well, I, Melons, am a female griffin, but most of the people who know me probably know me as Drake the Dragon, which is a large purple dragon. My dragon has been around the community for about 12 years now. Most of it is not safe for work. I'm going to throw that out there.
Well, this is the perfect episode to throw that out there.
Yes, so I've noticed. But as far as my Griffin side goes, my Griffin is a relatively unseen character because it's mostly reserved for more one-on-one interpretation as opposed to widespread public viewing, just because there's not been a reason for me to, you know, say, look at me, here I am. Because I feel as though I did that with my dragon for a couple of years, and I put my dragon out there. You know, my dragon is designed around a character that's playful, outgoing, and always curious. Whereas, like, what I'm going for now, Melons, is really, it's a more sentimental side of me. It's the side of my sauna that I'm basically saying, this is my emotion, this is my, it's like, you know, kinship, you know, friends, family, and booze kind of kinship. You know what I mean?
Did you say booze?
Booze, you know, alcohol, like your kinsmen, like Irishmen.
Friends, family, and booze. Sorry, I just got a kick out of that.
Gotta love the booze.
No, that's awesome. I also kind of wanted to ask, so where are you from? Where do you hail from?
Well, I was born and raised in Lexington, Kentucky in the U.S., but apparently my accent never matches up with that. Even the people from Lexington don't believe that I'm from Lexington. Like, I've inside the facility of my jail, I've had inmates ask me where I'm from, and I've had places suggested such as Canada, Ireland, England, Germany, Russia, a couple places were France, and I had one ask if I was Middle Eastern, even though I look nothing like it.
Truth be told, I wouldn't be able to pin your accent either. I would have no clue.
Well, hereditively, I am Irish, Russian, and German in that respective order.
That's funny because I hear the same about my German accent in Germany because nobody really believes me because I speak very, very let's say, high German, you know, general German because I don't really have a German accent. I'm talking like the Duden or dictionary suggests.
Nice. But so, yeah. Did you guys have anything you also wanted to ask Melons?
Why Melons?
Why the name?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yes.
Well, when I was searching around for the name for my second sauna, I was always wondering, like other people nowadays seem to have either a name for like a big name or their name is a thing. And I thought, you know, I made my dragon when I was back in middle school. So I gave him an actual name, but this time I wanted to be more unique and more quote unquote furry about it. So like, you know what? I'll choose a name that is a thing, but it has to be a thing that I really like. So like, I was watching a show called Majira Strawberry on YouTube. And I was like, you know, he calls himself Strawberry. I wonder what else I might call myself. Cause I do like fruits. And I came across a watermelon the next day and, like, answer to my answers.
Okay. Follow-up question. What's your opinion on cantaloupes?
Fire. Burn them with fire.
Oh, ooh, okay.
What?
Well, only in comparison to melons.
All right. Well, how about other more gourd-like things like pumpkins or zucchini?
Ooh. All right,
that looks delicious.
Totally honest, I love all fruits and veggies, excluding excluding three things. One, broccoli. Two, asparagus. And three, cauliflower. I just don't like those three. But I can happily dine on any of the other animals of veggies and
so
plants.
Funny because if I meet you and hand you a Bambino melon, will you just like immediately go to town on that thing?
I don't know what it is, but I'll eat it.
It's like a small round watermelon, like a bowling ball-sized watermelon.
That. I would destroy that with my face.
I want to see
my
this.
Beak will be so far in there, you'll be like, where'd her head go?
Where did her... Oh, my God.
Sexual innuendo.
So this week, I kind of have something a little bit special planned for you guys here. And I'm going to go down the list on the order that we joined the channel. So Fleeks, Storm, and then Melons. And I want you guys... Starting with Fleeks, pick a number between 1 and 4.
5. Yeah, okay, no.
You're going to be difficult.
I take three.
Taking three, okay. All right, Storm, pick a number between 1 and 4 that is not 3.
9,672.
2 it is. Melons, do you want to cooperate with me? Pick a number, 1 or 4.
2. I would take 1.
Good, Melons. All right, that leaves me with 4. I will be sending you guys a list of fetishes. Now, I pulled this list of fetishes from what is considered like the most common fetishes in the world. So it's not going to be like super uber, like weird, like out there stuff you've never heard of before. I promise you that much. This is stuff we all have heard of. We all know. And we will be playing a game with these fetishes today. Have you guys ever played Never Have I Ever?
Oh, God. Oh, yes. For
fuck's sake. I need to go get... We need to go get cream of the cow tit to get me ready for this.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. I need some...
Wait, I missed you there. Did you hear it, or have you played it, or what?
I've played... I've never played it, but I saw it in Family Guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's all the introduction you need then.
I'm not Quagmire.
To the listeners who have never heard of or don't know this, Never Have I Ever is a game where we go around in a circle, which is going to be difficult because it's digital, but we'll make do. We're going to go around in a circle, and with this list, we're going to go down and we're going to say, Never Have I Ever, insert the fetish that you choose here. Now, the goal is to try to get the other players of this game to go, I've done that. If they've done that, they have to tell a story about that particular fetish, something that they have done or experienced in that regard. No secondhand stories in here, so you can't say a friend of mine once. This has to be firsthand. This has to be coming from you. Make sense?
Oh, dear.
Okay. Now,
oh God.
If nobody has that fetish, if nobody goes, I've done that, the person who never have I ever'd, you'll have to either tell an experience that you have had with it, or if you don't have an experience, you have to try to explain the fetish as best you can.
Okay.
What? And as tastefully as you can. Be respectful. We're not shaming. Yeah, now, when you receive these, do not share them with the rest of us until it is your turn.
So share them with the group? Got it.
Okay. Oh, my God.
That military training's really coming out.
It does, doesn't it?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, before we get started, let's learn a little bit about our guest first. Melons, which branch did you serve in?
I am currently serving in the United States Army Reserves.
Currently? That is fantastic, dude. Nice. How long you been serving for?
Almost 3 years.
Did you start with the Reserves or did you move down?
I started with the Reserves as a private first class when I joined up, and I am 2 months away from being promoted to a specialist.
Nice.
My current job, my MOS, as those who are in the Army would know it as, is a 91 hotel / hotel 8. So I'm a track vehicle mechanic, so I work on tanks. And I'm also a track vehicle recovery specialist. So when tanks go boom and they need help, I am the guy that drives out there and fixes the, oh dear.
Can I ask where you're currently posted? Well, I mean, yes. Right now you're in the U.S., but...
Yes, I'm from Fort Thomas, Kentucky.
Nice.
It's, for those who... Pretty much never, since no one really knows where it is right beside Cincinnati.
Cincinnati chili. I heard about that.
Cincinnati. The things Fleeks brings up. Cincinnati chili.
Just whatever he has associated with it. All right. So at this point, you should have all received your lists. Now, we're going to go through these lists. We're going to go one round per fetish that you choose. And if we have enough time after a first round, we'll go into a second round. We probably won't do three, so pick your, like, you know, first and second choices there. And then if we do have time for a third round, we can totally go for it. Sound good?
Okay.
Woohoo.
So who starts?
All right. Well, I don't know how it lists you guys, but I'm at the top of the list here. It goes Core Raven, Fleek, yeah. Storm, and Melons.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll start us off then. Never have I ever... With public sex or free use?
Shit.
Public sex means like sex outside?
Yes, public sex. So, like, within viewable of other people.
Oh.
Or, alternatively, free use, which is kind of like where you just make yourself available to whoever's in the room at their convenience.
Oh.
Is this public sex heavy? Is this public...
Matt, I am public, so fucked.
Yeah, you
public sex having sex next to a camping place in the middle of the street? With our audience?
No, typically there would be an audience, or you're trying to be sneaky about it and kind of like behind the, like, you know, in like less conspicuous areas, but still technically public.
Okay. Then what do I have to say if I did it?
You just say that you did it.
I did it.
Okay, so we have Fleeks and we have Melons. Storm, how about you?
Oh, God, yes.
Okay.
Both of them.
Well, let's go down the list. Starting with Fleeks, tell us your story.
Well, we were at an camping trip, and we shared a tent with a lot of people. We tried to make it in secret, but I think people noticed that we had sex under the blanket. That's yeah.
Ah, nice. Okay. All right, Storm.
Well,
just pick one. Just one. One good story.
So many stories. Okay. Let's see. My favorite one is I'm at a FurCon, and we're at a meet and greet room party. Okay. It was literally just meant for meet and greet.
That's it.
Oh. And being the awesome Griff I am and meeting the awesome furs I have, meet and greet turned into, with me being the door guard, me opening the door while I have some very sexy wolf showing how much he appreciates griffins right in front of everyone.
Okay. Cons get a little bit wild.
Oh, yeah. And nothing stopped it. It was just, hey, how you doing?
So this is basically exactly how one of those meet and fuck stories play through. Like,
pretty much.
Of those saucy romance novels.
Pretty much. I'm a big believer in happy ending.
Melons, you're up. So, and really quick, is it melon singular or melons plural?
It's melons. It's like having two watermelons, but without the water.
Plural, gotcha. Go ahead.
So, when I was with my last partner, we decided to try to spice up life a little bit by having a very fancy hotel room with a balcony. Out on this balcony, it was rather low, so you could walk by, you know, going to the hotel and see us standing there. There's other balconies also that had full view of us, and basically, I convinced him to lean over the railing and shush him whenever he got too loud, because I don't want to get arrested or anything.
Nice.
But it was probably the most open sex I could have ever have had, because it's literally right there as you walk in or out of the door. So, like, I'm praying as I'm having sex that no one is going to be coming out of the main lobby. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
And technically, it's still a private area, so you wouldn't be breaking any laws that I'm aware of.
To my knowledge. All it would have been was just public indecency.
They would get you on that if they wanted to be shitheads. But
yep, public indecency is all it was.
Oh, I've got so many stories on this topic, but you made me pick one.
All right, okay. Fleeks, it is your turn for the Never Have I Ever round.
Okay. My topic, give me a second. The kink I choose is cross-dressing drag.
So never have you ever cross-dressed or gone in drag.
Exactly.
Nobody.
What is the age limit? What's the age limit on that?
Well, I mean, if you're a kid just dressing up in, like, your sister's clothes, that doesn't really count.
Oh, wait, never mind. Nope, yeah, I still did it. Fuck.
Actually, this one I can say no, I've never done.
I have not really either. I mean, I worked with drag queens, but I never actually did drag myself, so.
Well, I did, so I...
So, yeah, right, no, so... tell us away.
So, Storm and I are rather close, and I decided to try to surprise Storm in a magical way. So I buy myself a very fancy-looking skirt and a beautiful African-style necklace. Goes great with the tribalism. So I show up, and I'm wearing no shirt, you know, flex the abs a little bit, ooh, muscular. But then I'm in this very dainty, very frilly and girly-looking skirt that goes up to my waist, and have a absolutely gorgeous bead necklace. So technically, yes, I have done cross-dressing before.
You see, that's actually really cute, though.
Oh, God.
Trust me, there's something about my breeding partners having a skirt that just makes me go wild. Just being honest with you.
That's also go for kilt.
Yeah, I was going to say, the closest I've come to wearing a skirt is a kilt.
Oh, I own a kilt, all too.
All a kilt is a skirt for men. That's all it is.
Just damn right it is.
With a little more history behind it.
Of course, yeah. But still.
Yeah. There's history in skirts, too, you know.
Oh, yeah. You know, every stain tells a story.
Oh, dear exactly. God. All right, in the famous words of Kermit the Frog, moving right along, Storm, your turn.
Wait, can't. Kermit said that?
It was in a song.
Oh, all right.
Never have I ever participated in abuse or rape fantasy, including blood or knife play. Oh, baby.
You guys are picking the ones that, like, I don't really have a lot of forte into myself. Like, I only have secondhand information on these last two.
I'm not sure about if you say it's a role play, but the knife and thing, never had a knife in bed or...
No, that'd be a yes for me.
Well, you're the quagmire of this world.
How about you, Storm?
Hey, I'm sure... Oh, fuck yes.
All right, so we have two for this.
Yeah. And even though I... Even though I read the question, I don't care. I'll share. Okay. Abuse / rape fantasy. I love to role play. It's even more fun when it's done in real life. Once again, at a party, meet up with a friend. And we'd been talking online ahead of time, set up a safe word. So that way, you know, there were boundaries that would be respected. But basically went and put him in a chokehold, threw him in the bathroom, bent him over, ripped up the clothes, and had very aggressive mating in every position imaginable, one of which was a public display. They dragged him out in the living room. After it was done and we were having pizza afterwards.
Sorry, I just want to interject with that. Like, you guys are just like sitting in the living room watching like NCIS or whatever, just like la di da, what's going on? And it's like, bam, bend over, bitch.
Yep. Yes, complete.
And you guys are just kind of sitting there, like still like NCIS in the background, like, well, this may as well happen.
Yep. Complete with small strategic cuts, and so there was a little blood play involved. But when it was all done, she said that was the best sex she's ever had because during the actual role play, it felt non-consensual, even though there was a safe word involved. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun to do as long as you set up the right parameters.
Yes, and it is all about being respectful. Like, you have to know what they want. You have to know, your partner's in this. So there's discussion beforehand.
Oh, yeah. You just grab someone at a party and say... I'm going to fuck you, bitch. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, no, that's rape. Melons, real rape. I understand you had a contribution to this one as well.
Yes, apparently I do all of these. So I am really good friends with a particular eagle, and this particular eagle and I have had the discussion beforehand that says my safe word is pineapple. I've always liked the idea of having pineapple.
What?
So,
what? Okay, pause like really quick.
All right, go ahead.
Everybody's safe word is pineapple. Why?
I don't know.
Mine was pineapple for a while.
Jesus, it's like we're all the same.
My safe word is SOTP. It stops spelled incorrectly. That's why I know I would actually want to stop.
For a while there, my safe word was also safe word because it worked.
If I were to
safe word, it would be probably something never say in bed.
And now it's banana hammock.
Banana hammock.
If I am breeding core and someone and he says banana hammock, I'm just gonna die laughing. It's like, what the fuck?
That's kind of the point, because it throws you off and it throws you out of your groove, that it's also like an effective like emergency stop word.
Okay. Oh jeez. All right, anyways, Melons.
So story. My eagle has had me tied down completely. I'm on a bed completely sprawled eagle, you know. Unable to move anything, like even with all of my fancy muscles, which don't really count for anything, I am unable to move in the slightest bit. This eagle decides that he's going to perch up and properly do whatever he feels is necessary while in suit, and my goodness, was that amazing. But I'm over here unable to resist in a blindfold. Like, I got no idea what's going to happen. Either I could be a bottom or I could be a top. 50-50 chance I'm going to really like it. 50-50 chance it might sting a little. Thankfully, it did not disappoint.
Very nice. Also, if you're blindfolded, it adds like a certain element of like, whoa, wait, what's happening here? Like, if you feel the texture of the suit all of a sudden.
Oh, yes. It was a very interesting suit.
Blindfold with simulation and electric play is very fun.
Ooh.
See, electric play was one of them that was up on this list, but it wasn't quite within like the top, like, you know, few that I picked here. It is one that I'd like to experiment with at some point, too.
Make I encourage you. Us.
All right, Melons, your turn. Do your worst.
Never have I ever had a foot fetish.
Okay, so I dated someone with a mild foot fetish once.
Okay, I don't fetish. I think alien. Can be nice, probably, depending on the con. Like totally, I see a feet. Practically, that's not my thing.
Well, of course, I can participate in this, but for me, it's more of a dominance thing. I want massage and, you know, kiss and caress and show how much they appreciate my dominant griffin self through my feet and then work their way up.
That works. No, mine was definitely more of like they enjoyed the feelings and sensations of it. So, one, best foot massages ever. Like, not even like anything sexualized about it, just really good foot massages. I'm going to put that out there. It's not really something I'm majorly, like, it's not something I'm into, but it's one of those things that I can participate in without, like, being like, oh, that's weird, or anything like that. So, it was always kind of nice to be, like, you know, on, like, topping them, and, you know, you'd be able to kind of, like, reach over and, like, start playing with their foot a little bit, lick them. They enjoyed that quite a bit.
I'll tell you the weirdest thing, which just happened to me not long ago, was I was getting a very good blowjob. And the person doing it decided to also massage my hind paws at the same time. That was quite interesting, because they massaged the hind paws in certain ways to it almost increase the pleasure, because they were hitting certain nerves. It was really, really good.
Our parasympathetic nervous system is really awesome in the fact that, like, you're experiencing, like, a heightened pleasure in one area. It doesn't really know how to, like, differentiate where, like, different signals are coming from sometimes. So, like, I can see... Well, I understand that, like, you know, you're getting this one really pleasurable act done on you, and then another kind of, like, good-feeling act also happens. And they just kind of complement each other by becoming the same, empath kind of thing, you know? Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's the same way that, like, knife play and stuff actually does take off and feel good in a really weird way, too. Because you're in a heightened state, and you are expecting pleasure. So if you get, like, a little cut or something... because you're in this heightened state, the cut doesn't necessarily it's not necessarily painful in the way you know pain. It's kind of like an elation, you know?
Okay.
Am I just like talking out my ass here?
No, it actually makes sense. It really does.
So anyways, that was feet.
That was a good first round.
All right. So are we comfortable enough to do a second round?
Yes.
Fuck yeah. Shit, this is just scratching the surface, baby.
All right.
This is a very dirty group, I've noticed.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got to, once a year, folks, we got to maintain our, you know, mature rating. So we have to do these periodically to just show we like talking about penises and cloacas.
Meanwhile, Fleeks and I are actually kind of sitting over here in the corner because we're like a little bit more vanilla people.
Yeah,
but we're learning.
Yes, listeners are discovering that Storm really is a dirty bird.
All right. This one's going to be a total lie, but never have I ever been into ass worship or cock or boob worship. Okay. Storm, melons?
Of course. Let's see. Cock worship. I love having my cock worshipped. For boobs worship, if the female has a nice set, even if they're small, but, you know, she takes care of them, oh, yeah. Ass, if I'm in the right mood, I like having mine worship.
As far as I go, I've actually never... Oh, go ahead.
No, you go. I just want to make a joke. Doesn't matter.
As far as I go, out of roleplay, I've actually never had either of those.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's mostly you, Storm. I'll back you up on this one, too.
Okay. Let's see. Way to kill two birds with one stone. I was with three friends. And we were actually weren't at a con this time. We were just all visiting one of their homes. And I had a very, very beautiful female on my lap. And I was just absolutely going to town on her wonderful rack. At the same time, I was being... having my ass worshipped and getting a blowjob.
Well, there you go.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's weird because if I'm just getting my ass eaten out, it's nice, pleasurable, relaxing. If you get in the head, self-explanatory. When you're getting both at the same time down there, it's mixed signals to the point you're like, I don't know how to take this.
To the point you're a little overstimulated, probably.
Yeah.
For me, I'm very much so an ass person. And the thing is this is kind of a fetish that you may not necessarily fetishize, or it may be one that you don't really know that you have until you realize it's a thing. Because like there is a lot of hyper-focus on women's breasts. There is a lot of hyper-focus on men's cocks. And it's... You might end up kind of being like really... I want to say obsessive, but I don't want to make it sound like negative. You may be a little more obsessive over one of these attributes than you really realize. And for me, that is very much so ass. Like, you guys have seen me in the AD group, so you probably already knew this about me, but I am very much so an ass person.
That so is... you like eat?
Oh, yeah.
You like eating ass, or...
I'm what? All about it.
Yeah, I prefer ass over boobs. Am I again?
Rim jobs are kind of a regular thing in my household.
Oh, shit. Let me raise my tail feather real fast.
Oh, nice. Hey, that sounds fucking awesome.
All right, Fleeks, your turn.
Okay.
You're breaking up really bad.
I need to pull up the list again. It's some... So yeah, never done situation.
Okay, he said never have I ever been into asphyxiation or sadomasochism.
That is
breath play.
That is
it can be breath play, yeah.
Yeah, if we do breath play.
But I think it's more like a pressing the string. You can't press, but it increases the last, you know.
sorry, Fleeks, you are breaking up quite bad, so I'm going to try to translate again. So he's saying it's from his regard, it's more of a thing where you're controlling how they breathe, like, you know, putting pressure on the diaphragm, preventing them from being able to inhale, that kind of thing. Right?
Right. Yeah, and I know somebody is into that, and that she can't come without doing that. But I know. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
But he has never. Okay. So who here has?
Me.
Completely unabashed. Yep. Hi. How's it going?
Yep.
Why did that...
Not with someone else, but autoerotic asphyxiation has been done before with me. So do you want that story?
I would say that is still definitely an asphyxiation fetish. At least all it right. falls under that category.
Okay. So, Malin, do you want to go first?
Sure.
Go for it.
When I was a wee little griflet growing up and, you know, maturing as the years go by, I realized that people can still hear me when I moan. So I started to hold my breath when I was younger, when it got close to the climax, whenever I was masturbating. I didn't want anyone to know what I was doing, so I was always very quiet. To the point, so that nowadays, if I'm masturbating, it's actually more enjoyable for me to hold my own breath for like the last minute, just to make sure I have that extra kick at the end of it.
Whoa, okay.
I'm the same way in that aspect. Same reason when I was younger, because of the way my parents were and whatnot, I wanted to be quiet when I climaxed. And now even when I'm, you know, humping away at someone today, when I feel myself getting ready to blow, I'll hold my breath the last 30 seconds or so and then release it right when I'm climaxing. And it just causes me to see stars of glory.
You see,
but when I'm doing it, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry. Finish up.
But when I'm doing it to somebody else, usually it's involved with rape play or just a very dominant type of mating. And a good example, especially with when you're breeding females and some males as well, when you are, you know, really putting the chokehold on them, you can cause them to actually clench tighter. And the trick is to clench but let go just enough so they can breathe a little bit, but clench again. And you got to learn to do it just right. But if you do it just right, they'll literally milk your cock just the way you want them to while you're fucking away. And it causes a heightened sense of pleasure for them at the end, as well as yourself.
Ooh.
That's almost touching into like body manipulation.
I believe just yes. about.
So I was going to say that I kind of have like the opposite of what you guys experience. And this isn't necessarily because I have a different experience in, you know, how I was breathing and trying to stay quiet when I was younger. For me, it's kind of the opposite. Like when I'm about to climax, like, or even just during sex, it helps to, for me to breathe and like have deeper breaths, get more oxygen flowing. And then I get a much more heightened sensation than without.
Huh. Interesting.
So, like right before climax, I'll might seem a little weird. I'll take a big gulp of air.
You're my American version anyway, so.
Sounds like this is one of those your mileage may vary questions.
Oh, for sure. All right, so that was Fleeks. Storm, you're up next.
Never have I ever been into or really had the hots for Chubby.
Chubby.
Okay.
Chubby? Okay. How chubby are we talking about?
I guess that's subject to interpretation.
It really is. Like,
My ex-girlfriend was kind of chubby in a nice way. I really like chubby girls, so in general, even guys, chubby, that's totally okay for me. So generally, you know, like a kink, but more. I don't care about outside things too much when it comes to that.
See, I'm kind of about the same way, where like appearance isn't really all that as far as like, you know, like sexual appeal kind of thing goes. But kind of looking back, the majority of my girlfriends have been not really like the thin model types at all. I've dated a few girls who were definitely thinner, but like, or thin. One who was borderline anorexic. But
yeah,
she...
but most of my female partners were chubby. That's
I think it largely comes down to also kind of a personality maintenance thing, because, and again, this is just experience, like this is just my experience. You know, like I don't want someone who is unhealthy, but at the same time, like someone who worries about their appearance so much, they're typically a little more high maintenance than I look for in a relationship.
For me, when it comes to this, because I know people are very sensitive about their weight, and I respect that. I will be with someone that is skinny as a rail, up to having some meat on them, is how I like to describe it. My ideal partner, what gets me turned on the most, typically is the skinnier side. However, if you've got a good personality, you can have some meat on you, and I'll still be very attracted to you. With respect, if you get beyond that and start getting into the very large, or, you know, if you don't take care of yourself and look like, you know, fat bastard out of that movie.
Austin Powers.
Something like, yeah, Austin Powers, then yeah, I'm just, no. But if you do take care of yourself, you shower, you got good hygiene and a good personality, yeah. But as a fetish itself, chubby just never was something fetish-wise I was in.
Fair enough. Melons, any experience?
Well, before I was a soldier in the army, I was a wrestler, so I would always be cutting back weight to get to a lower wrestling category, since we're wrestling in America based off of how much you weigh.
Yeah.
So for me, I was always 30 pounds underweight, weighing around 130 to 120. So for me, chubby was a different askew when it comes to mindset. Like for me, I right now am fat, in my personal opinion, even though I'm right there on weight at 160 pounds.
So, skinny.
Yeah, I know I'm skinny. I know I weigh like almost nothing. It could be picked up like a toothpick.
It is something to look into, your body mass index. And if you're right within that range, you're within a healthy range. That's fine.
So for me, as far as, you know, betting others, I've actually never been attracted to humans, because it just so happened that furries introduced to me were rather sexual when I was just hitting, you know, my sexual maturity. So most of my interest is actually based around people's fursanas. So whenever I'm betting someone, even if they're chubby or skinny, I don't look at it based off of how big or small they are, but what their character is like. So for me, it's more about your personality and your sauna than it is how much you actually weigh.
So I do have a question in that regard, and it is a bit of a tangent. And if you don't want to talk about it, that's totally fine.
I'm an open book.
Is this maybe more of a Therian kind of thing? Like,
sort of. For me, it's more of other kin in nature.
Gotcha. Okay.
They're one and the same.
That's just kind of what I was like trying to pick up on there. Okay. And yes, you're okay with that being mentioned?
I don't mind. I'm an open book.
Cool. So that being said, none of us really have anything for chubby.
Not really.
So no points for this round.
Nope.
Not really a fetish. Like I'm not into hype, but chubby doesn't sound... So, I mean, I had sex with chubby girl, and I think that, I don't know, but not especially as a fetish, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I said.
No, I have met people, if we're just talking about it just for a split second to talk about it, I have met people that are so into the chubby fetish that if you walk by and you're a larger person, they will basically get an instant boner for you. It's one of their biggest turn-ons.
To the point, it qualifies as nearly sexual harassment.
Just about. And it, hey, you know, whatever floats your boat.
All right. Well, Melons, would you like to take the last round?
Sure. Let's see. Never have I ever been into MILFs or someone of an older age. That's a fun one.
So this could be age play as well.
Ooh, fun.
Despite the fact that I myself am asking the question, my answer is still a yes, I have done this several times.
I don't have firsthand experience, but age, like, when I was younger, and not really so much now that I'm not younger. I was kind of into like more older. I never got to do it, but I was a little bit more into like trying to find older partners.
Mm.
All my girlfriends were older than me, almost, except one exception. But they all, had an. Oh, wait a second. I mean, I'm talking about the one I had a real long relationship, ex-girlfriend, for example. She was older than me.
Okay. By the way you're saying it, it doesn't really sound like the disparity was so great that it was something that you were seeking out.
That's right. I mean,
Fleeks, you're breaking up really bad. We're not getting anything on our end.
Test.
Yeah, you're still breaking up a bit, but I can hear you now.
Okay, the old dad was 10 years older.
10 years older? Okay, that is a bit of a disparity, yeah. And again, not in a negative like just saying that there is a gap there.
Was that something you were kind of
seeking out in them, or?
No. Oh, they were just nice and cool and. You have probably sex with people you like, so, and it was like, yeah, why not?
Storm, how about you? Any interest in age there?
I love the concept, I really do. I've only had very limited in real life experience with it. Biggest difference being about 10 years of age. Actually, no. 13 years of age. And it's when you meet someone that's older than you that takes care of themselves, they have just that much more experience, and it's really hot.
There is definitely an attraction there, yeah.
So I am very much into it.
Do you have any experience with partners of age difference, or...?
Yeah, my biggest experience with this was that when I was at Midwest Fur Fest in 2006, maybe 7, and the guy was about 14 years older than me, and we didn't have full-blown sex, but what we did do was he gave me absolutely the most mind-blowing hand job of my life. We were snuggled up together, and all he did was touch my cock up and down in rhythmic ways, not stroke it or anything, just touch it. Took about an hour and a half, but my gosh, that was incredible. And it's just a trick you learned over the years. And that was the most intimate snuggle I've ever had to this date.
I don't think I would have that kind of patience, but points to you.
What's this? I noticed that too, that they do that. Yeah, pretty much the same experience for the partner, so... Oh my god, they know how to... Oh my god.
Maybe I should be taking notes here.
I'm very... like, cringing a lot, like... cringing, you know? Not...
Alright, Melons, even though you were the asker on this one, yes. Did you want to share?
I actually would like to. I've always thought as though my mindset was in the wrong age group, just because even when I was younger, I was always, you know, thinking everyone was too immature for my current, you know, niche. So even when I was in high school, I was thinking, man, people who are older than me or have like, actually have their life together and are acting so immature and like children. So from a young age, I've always been attracted to the people of an older age, so much so that the oldest person I've had sex with, they were aged at 38 when I was 19.
Ah.
Isn't that so much one of those, like a daddy relationship where it's like they got money, so be a sugar daddy with it? I'm actually more interested in the fact because I think people of an older age generally are more responsible, and because of that, I find more attraction in them because they're able to, you know, be a grown up as opposed to being, you know, childlike and playful all the time.
You see, I can relate with that. And to my experience with, you know, kind of the age play fetish, there is one aspect where it's kind of just an attraction to a more, honestly, unfortunate, like a parental figure kind of thing. But then there's also more of an attraction to, they're not immature, they're not, you know, going around and partying and drinking all the time and just like trashing places. There's like an element of like, you want to be more mature yourself, and this person can kind of offer you that guidance as well as have a good relationship with them.
Indeed.
Yeah, that sounds
like kiddies. Practically, like mentally kiddies.
Yeah.
Actually, I do have a few questions that were submitted to me.
Awesome.
If you guys want to go to question.
I'm down.
I'm game.
I'm down.
Okay. Our first question is, how did you end up deciding what career to pick and why?
All right. I have a story for this one whenever.
The first thing that comes to my mind, I'm not sure I want to go.
So my experience, I'm currently an EMT and I'm working my way towards nursing now. I was kind of floating around after high school. I didn't immediately go back to college. For about 5 years, I kind of not really jumped from job to job, but kind of had like a variety of jobs. I worked in security for a little while, and then with that, I became a bouncer at a bar. And then after that, I went to work in a call center. And for a very brief stint, I sold Comcast door to door, which was horrible. But I was kind of floating around a little aimless, and I really didn't know what passions I had in life. I didn't really know where I wanted to try to aim my goals in my career. So it really came down to the fact that, and this is the honest to God truth, Scrubs is one of my favorite shows ever. And I always liked the idea of being able to help people and, you know, give back to society in some way that is meaningful and not sitting there taking calls on a phone for a career kind of thing. So I saved up my money and I went back to school to become an EMT, simply because I don't have the patience or the ability to go through school for 8 years to become a doctor and then another 4 years as the hospital bitch just to get just to become a practitioner. But I still wanted to work in the medical field because that was relevant to my interests. And Scrubs, as a TV show, kind of inspired me to go that route.
Nice. Hey, whatever floats your boat and gets you in, I like it.
I vote yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, what about you, Fleeks?
I already said I'm still not sure what I want to become. But I chose to study biology and chemistry because it just interests me. And already as a kid, I was wondering what stuff is made of, and biology is interesting, and teacher because I'm really like to be on stage practically, and that's what a teacher is practically like. A teacher in front of the blackboard, you know, the chalkboard, and yeah, that's kind of what I do, but I'm not entirely sure anymore. And my voice would be fine because I freaking love.
All right, you broke up at the end there. Because you love what?
Because I love creating stuff. Let it be art or merchandise or. Most fully. Creating stuff that is not really useful, but it's nice to look at. You know what I mean? Art.
Definition of art: creative, yeah, but not useful.
Merchandise you can get is not very useful. It's just you have to express your love to a certain topic.
Well, I mean, in that aspect, look at it this way. You've made how many t-shirts now? And they're quite literally floating around all over the world?
Five. And then we have 10 other designs uploaded to Redbubble.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Fleeks. Amazing. Coming soon. The Squat Collection. By Fleeks. Coming to your local Macy's.
Le Peck.
I mean, my create still not registered company is called T-Packer, so that's practically my brand.
Storm Melons, how about you guys? Any interesting stories that led into your careers?
Let's go first.
Sure, I was a little grifflet, and I watched the movie War Games. And that got me interested in computers. So my parents decided in elementary school to get me my first computer. I promptly broke it, fixed it, broke it, fixed it, took it apart, and just played with it constantly. And fast forward to high school when I have to figure out what the hell to do with the rest of my life. I come up with this list of things, which includes, you know, police officer, being a pilot for a commercial airline, etc. All of these things still interest me to this day. But the one thing that just kept popping up in the front of my mind was, why not see where a career in IT goes? You already do it anyway. So here I am, doing what I've been doing since I've been a grifflet. And so far, I can't complain too much. A lot of people get mad and say I'm really lucky because I'm predestined to apparently do this. Of which I reply to them that nobody really knows what they're going to do the rest of their lives. And, you know, even though I'm doing this today, who knows what will happen in 5-10 years.
So, one quick question. Do you enjoy what you do?
Yes and no. There are days I love it, and there are days I want to choke a bitch. But I think that's
in the past, you've alluded to the fact that it's more of the customer side of things that you don't really like working with, the client side. Is that correct?
No.
Okay.
I love dealing with the end users. I do not enjoy dealing with the people that are in charge of accounts payable and the owners of the businesses that want to be assholes and not pay me properly. But the end users themselves, their job security, I don't mind dealing with them at all.
Okay. No, that makes sense. So is there maybe a direction you can take your field where you're not relying or accounting on these the accounts payable?
Yes, I am going to be going back to university because I do have my associate's degrees in IT support and administration. And I'm going for a bachelor's in IT administration with a focus on network security. And
booyah.
Network security and engineering is where the money's going to be at, and hell, security itself is where the money's at now. So,
for sure,
I think I'm going to have some fun with that.
Melons.
Back when I was in middle school, I was always wanting to be someone who could help someone else because throughout all my life, I was always very active in sports. You know, sports and music both. When I was playing the music, I got all the way from just pretty much just only on skill to being a first chair international tuba player. When I was wrestling back in high school, I was offered a chance to go to an international league for wrestling. And I've always been relatively great when it comes to the things that I like and have passions for, because I was always doing them. But I always had someone behind me saying, you can do it, you can, you know, keep going, you got this. And because I felt as though my accomplishments that I have done are because of other people helping me, it's my job to help the next generation get to the next level of greatness that they're able to achieve. So I decided to become, you know, a soldier at first to give back to the community. And then, since I'm in the reserves, I actually became a corrections officer. So I now work at a jail where I'm currently scheduling up a program that my sergeant is actually backing now, where I'm supposed to change the way that the jail is being run so that people have a less likely chance of coming back to jail, which I don't know if Leeks knows this, but in America, the jail system is very poorly designed.
Shit.
Compared with Germany, of course. Yeah.
So the recidivism rate is horrible.
Yes. Yeah. 80% of the people at my jail that leave the jail will come right back within a week. So I'm trying to do a new program where essentially I would treat inmates far more respectfully than other people in my facility are, which I get a little bit of hate for because, you know, I mean, I've had people throw shit at me. It's not the nicest place to be, mind you. But at the same time, there are those that truly don't have that that guidance that tells them, hey, you can change this aspect of your life and become a better person. So I'm trying to teach these guys, like, look, here's how you want to portray yourself. I'll be respectful to you no matter what you do. But in return, you must start showing respect to me. And I'll give you more privileges in return. So far, I've actually seen a huge increase in respect shown throughout the entire day, not just during my shift. I've actually had first and third shift officers, since I work on second shift, give me compliments saying that these guys have been the best they've ever seen the entire unit, like for their entire 12-year careers. So I'm hoping that this thing can catch on with my sergeant and be spread throughout the entire facility into other jails. Because, I mean, if you start respecting people, the likelihood that you'll commit another crime is goes down. Right? It's all about showing respect.
That is movingly awesome.
Thank you.
Like, okay, sorry, I'm trying to organize my thoughts to saying something here, but I'm totally on board with that, and I, even if it's not like the biggest step ever, because it is just one prison across an entire nation, but one step in the right direction to help get these people back, get their lives back. Because it's kind of unfortunate when people, you know, they end up in prison and then the prison becomes a lifestyle for them. It becomes their sense of community. It's where they most are familiar with. So that's their habitat now versus.
Oh, yes. I've actually had someone fight me because he was being released saying that this is his home. I mean, this is a serious problem.
Yeah, and it's become a cultural thing where it's not just that, you know, it's not just a one-off incident. This is lots of people.
Indeed. Like, the majority of the people in the facility that I think need the most help are not so much the lawbreakers, but all the drug users. And it's a harder aspect to get to them, but once you start talking to these people as, like, as an individual, not like, you know, an inmate, but one-on-one, like, look, I'm not an officer, you're not an inmate. There's no difference separating them from me, except I haven't gotten caught and they did. Once I start talking to them on that level, the people who are doing drugs have actually come forward to me and saying, look, I know what I did is wrong. Can I get a phone call to call my mom? I need to start apologizing for the things I've done wrong. I have another guy come forward and even saying, like, all of his drugs that he's been doing, he's never going to do them again because he realized that he's messed up his whole life. He could have been someplace entirely different. I'm like, that's what I want to hear in this facility. That's you know, the moving stuff.
That's an effective change. That is a new. That's out with the old, in with the new, basically.
That's the attempt, at least.
No longer are we going to do this Les Miserables thing where we expect prisoners to continue to be criminals after they get out on the streets.
Oh, and you realize that prisoners are human beings, and sometimes some of them, if given the right opportunity, would rather change their lives. It's important to try to give those that want to change an opportunity.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Okay. Two more questions today. Next question is, we all love birds in this community, obviously. Yes. The second question was very simply, while we all are members of this awesome squawky community, name the one bird you really don't like. It can be for any reason. You gotta list the reason you don't like it, though.
I'm trying to think here.
I appreciate all the birds.
Because
the only squirrel scares me a bit is marabou stork, but I don't hate them.
I got one.
So,
okay, go ahead.
Pigeons piss me off. I had two different times a pigeon has taken a shot on my head out in public. I hate pigeons.
Whoa.
Oh, poor Fleeks.
It's okay, Fleeks. Nothing against you. It's just true animal pigeons always seem to be shitting on me and no other bird ever does. And it just pisses me off that I'm always with the pigeon whenever it happens.
Yeah. You know what? You're pissing. You're standing in the way.
Oh, that's what it's it is. Fault, oh, actually. My bad.
It's your fault standing in the way of the flying turd. Exactly.
They probably always like, hey, I'm shitting here. Why does the sky stand here, you know?
I think pigeons are very intelligent and we're deliberately aiming to shit on shiny things. They love shitting on my car, for example.
See, so,
especially yes. After they've been washed.
Of course.
Always after being washed. See, I had a pigeon shit on my car less than 2 hours after I had a $20 shower on it. It was a very expensive wash that I gave it. I'm like, all right, everything, all the works. Take it off the lot, right on top of it. I'm like, oh, are you kidding?
Yeah, that is the definition of pigeons, unfortunately.
I need to give you a fun fact, and that's that Egyptian Cleopatra and other Egyptian rulers used pigeon feces to blonde their hair.
Oh wow!
Oh. No, not okay. That is not okay.
I think Core's dying.
Pigeon feces to blonde.
There's always a poop joke in an episode. I did not expect it from you, Fleeks.
That's a fact. That's a scientific
hashtag poop facts.
That's a fact.
I'm glad to see only my best assets are rubbing off on you guys.
Anyway,
I think it's rather interesting what in the hair.
Anyways, I would say probably one of my least favorite birds is the seagull, and I still respect the fact that they are actually a pretty intelligent bird, but they are. They are what trash birds actually are. Mainly because of how, brazen they are and the fact that they don't care about people. Like, you might be chilling out, doing whatever you're doing. You might be on the beach, which is what most people picture seagulls, or Walmart parking lots. But you're just sitting there, enjoying a sandwich, doing whatever, and suddenly that sandwich isn't your sandwich anymore. It's that seagull's sandwich. It claimed it. It's not yours. And that's not an uncommon trait of seagulls. They just take things because they can have them. Well,
I only got a cheeseburger stone from a hooded crow. Yeah. So. Also, that's
I would have to say my second least favorite species would probably be the cassowary, but that's just because they're just straight up assholes. And pelicans are weird. You know what? Fuck pelicans too.
Oh my god. Well, for me, it's Canadian geese. And it's for a very similar reason. Where I live in Northwest Indiana, Canadian geese like to land here while they're doing their migration.
Ooh.
And they shit so much. Oh my god. When it comes to our public parks, etc., especially around bodies of water, they will walk around on the sidewalks. Congregate. And literally, you will have an inch thick of bird shit all along everything. And the government will come and power wash. And 2 days later, it's back to being an inch thick. It's just so disgusting.
And worse,
there's nothing we can do.
Canadian geese are just mean. They're very mean-spirited little birds.
Yes, that is true. That is very
true. You probably never met mute swans.
You know how Canadians are like the nicest, sweetest people who are apologizing for everything for no reason? That's because when they formed the country of Canada, they pulled together all of their mean spirit and they embodied it and they imbued it into one creature and they thought, oh, this will be fine. We don't see a whole lot of these because it was their off season, so they put all of their hatred in Canadian geese.
Those bastards.
So that's why Canadian geese are the way they are. True facts.
Vicious. Have you all seen the inside of their mouth?
They got ridges, man. They got fangs.
They got fucking teeth on their tongue.
Alright. This is going down a horror path. Let's find a new next question.
Last question is, what is your bird's favorite theme song?
Ooh.
So what's the theme song for your bird?
Some video game music, probably.
Kinda, yeah. There was a point where I was kind of drafting up like a kind of game scenario for like a core where he was the protagonist in a storyline, and so I did make a sort of chiptune anthem for him, but I don't think that really counts.
I mean, I have a chiptune anthem for Avian Arcade. That could be that fits my woodpecker very well.
I'd probably say my theme song for Melons would probably be I'm Working on My Railroad. Like, I've been working on the railroad. Like, just that song right there.
That would be your anthem?
Yep, that'd be me.
I dig it. Could I steal and claim the Parks and Rec anthem to be my anthem?
Sure.
Okay, why that's my not? Anthem.
Why not? Just fucking A. For me, it's a toss-up between Bittersweet Symphony by The Verve or Safe and Sound.
Mm. Oh, and, look at him, like, dropping, like, real things on us. Ouch.
Yeah. No, I'm serious.
When I think of core, I somehow have songs from Marilyn Manson in my head.
You know, I'm not totally against that.
I don't
dislike Marilyn Manson.
Marilyn Manson.
Let
vote
me
yes.
See you stripped.
In fact, when we were kind of getting into the episode, you were talking about Mormons and everything, Melons. Marilyn Manson has a song that he dedicated to Utah because of the LDS, "The Beautiful People."
Really?
Yeah. Give that a listen.
Mormons.
I
love that song.
Right? And it was because Utah banned him from performing in the state.
Why?
Because have you heard Marilyn Manson's songs? He's pretty much the anti-Mormon.
Marilyn Manson's the anti-Mormon.
They banned him from performing in the state because of his wonderful pro-Christian lyrics.
Pro-Christian.
But yeah, no, give that song a listen and then kind of put that to what you know about the LDS and it might make a little more sense.
I freaking love that song.
All right, I think that's about everything for this week. Was there anything else? Yep.
No, I think that pretty much covers it up. I'm getting ready for MFF myself, woo! As is Melons, so we're doing Party. The last of our laundry and packing and off we'll go to the craziest weekend of furry fun in Chicago.
Don't forget the crackers.
Of course.
By the time this episode posts, MFF will be over, so when you guys get back, I expect stories.
Done.
Oh, there will be so many stories. How many stories I can share on this podcast remains debatable, but there will be many stories.
Melons, thank you so much for joining us this week. I'd love to have you back sometime.
Oh, I'd love to be back sometime. It was a dear and darn pleasure.
Thank you. What do I usually say for the outro? Oh my god, I'm drawing a blank.
This was Feral Adventure.
Thank you so much for joining us. You can catch us on iTunes, Google Play Music, the RSS feed. Follow us on Twitter. Storm is our social media griff, so he's got that going on. You can also chat with us on the Bird Life Telegram chat, t.me/birdlife. And as always, if you enjoy the show and you want to throw some support, we do have a Patreon. You can subscribe for as low as $1 a month, and every little bit helps. It keeps the servers up. It keeps us going ad-free, and that's the goal because I hate advertisements. But yeah, thank you so much for joining us again. And remember, always be beeping.
Always be beeping.
Our eager hearts beat pointed up with pride, we cry. Horizon ahead, wings spread out, we claim the sky. Badania, Badania, all glory to Badania. Badania, Badania, forever free Badania. Badania, Badania, all glory to Badania. Badania, Badania, forever free Badania.
Fleeks is having an aneurysm. Give him a second.